Well, again, it's good to be in the Lord's house, and thank you for coming today. We're so honored and so blessed to have you here with us. I want to read a short passage of Scripture from the 16th chapter of the Gospel as recorded by Mark. I guess I'll read 11 verses. If you have your Bible and you'd care to join me, I'd be happy for you to do so. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he has said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said anything to any man. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Now that's all I'm going to read at this time. I pray that God will bless the reading of his word, and that it'll be for our good and for his honor and glory. I want to use as my subject for today the credible gospel. The credible gospel. We hear stories sometimes, and we hear the story, and we'll say, "That's incredible," which actually means that's unbelievable. But we've read the story of the resurrection of Jesus. And the story of the resurrection is not incredible. It's credible. You can depend on what the Bible says about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. These disciples, when they were told that Jesus had risen from the dead, and that Mary Magdalene had seen him and had talked with him, the Bible said they believed not. I guess we would have been the same way, don't you guess? We read in the Gospels, they had seen the power of the Lord Jesus many times, these disciples. They had seen people healed, and they had seen people raised from the dead. Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old girl, was one that Jesus raised from the dead. He took her by the hand and he said, "I say unto thee, arise," and she arose. She got up. There was also the widow woman, Syrophoenician lady. Her son had died, and they were on the way to the graveyard with him. And Jesus met them as he was going down the road. And he went over and stopped the funeral procession. And he laid his hand on the coffin. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he rose. And then there was Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha. They lived in the town of Bethany. And Lazarus got ill. He became sick. And they sent for Jesus. He was in another city. And it was some time before Jesus came. And Martha said to him when he came, "Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And he said, "Martha, your brother's going to rise again." And he asked, "Where have you laid him?" And they took him to the place. And the Bible said Jesus wept. You know, sometimes we try to hold back our tears when we feel grief and sorrow. But I tell you, tears have a language, as someone said, that God understands. And sometimes just shedding tears will release the grief that we feel. And Jesus wept. Because you see, he was a man. He was God, but he was a man. And so he said to them, the place where Lazarus was buried was a cave. And you had to go in the cave and then back to the place where he was laid. And so they had laid a stone over the mouth of the cave. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And they took the stone away. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. Now the disciples had seen all this. And they had been with Jesus for about 3 years, maybe three and a half years. And they had seen all these marvelous works. And they had heard Jesus when he said unto them, "We're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man is going to be arrested, and he's going to be crucified, and he's going to be buried, and the third day he's going to rise again." And they had heard all of that. But yet when the word came, "He has risen from the dead," they believed not. Now there may be some in this audience today. You don't believe this story. Maybe you think that Jesus, you know, it would be impossible for a man to rise from the dead. It's not impossible. I want to talk to you about three things that makes the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ credible. First of all, it was prophesied. Hundreds of years ago. We can go back at least 1,200 years to the prophecy that stated that Jesus was going to be resurrected. It's already been mentioned in our Sunday school hour this morning, but some of you wasn't here. And so you see what you miss sometimes when you're not in Sunday school. So next Sunday, I want all of you to be here, okay? But anyway, it was mentioned about how that the prophet Isaiah prophesied concerning the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Said he was smitten and afflicted. It says that he was lamb taken to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth. He did not protest. He did not put up a fight. He knew why he had come to this world. He had come to give his life a ransom for sin. And so he did not protest or put up a fight. And they led him as a sheep to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth. He was terribly mistreated, as all of you have heard me preach and others as well. But he was terribly mistreated. And then the Bible tells us, and I'm going over there just for a moment to the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. You might want to turn yourself and look at it. In the 53rd chapter, and this is the part that I wanted to get. He was oppressed and afflicted, and he was, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and that's having reference to the time when he was arrested. And he was taken into custody, and he was put on trial in Pilate's praetorium. And it says he was taken from prison and from judgment. And you know, Jesus didn't get justice. If he'd have gotten justice, he'd have been released. But you see, he did no sin. Neither there was any guile found in his mouth. He did nothing worthy of being crucified. And yet, the sentence was from Pilate. And Herod agreed with him as well. He said, I find no fault in this man. He has done nothing worthy of death. But they set that sentence aside. Because the people demanded the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. They said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate, willing to do the people a favor, he said, take him and crucify him. But anyway, let me go on. He was cut off out of the land of the living. That means his life was taken. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. You see, it wasn't for his transgression. It was for our transgressions that he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. And so the prophet had prophesied. But let me read another verse here. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to death, to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. Now this, I want you to get this. He shall prolong his days. That was spoken by the prophet Isaiah 712 years before it really happened. And the way he prolonged his days was coming forth out of that grave. He rose from the dead, and he prolonged his days. And he showed himself alive after his resurrection, the Bible said, by the space of 40 days. The Bible said that he showed himself alive by many, and I can't get that verse to come up, so I know where it's at. So we'll just read it. In Acts, the first chapter and the third verse, here it is. He showed himself alive after his passion. That word passion is the one I couldn't get a hold of. After his passion, that meant after his suffering. He suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat as it were great drops of blood. He was compelled to carry his cross to Calvary, and there he was nailed to the cross. Now that, the passion there, he did lots of suffering, but he loved the human family, and he wanted everybody to have the opportunity to be saved, and to have eternal life, and to have a home reserved in heaven. And so after the passions were over, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. There was no magic. There was no deception. They buried him in Joseph's new tomb. They rolled a stone to the door. They sealed the door. They set Roman guards to make sure that nobody stole his body, and then said he's risen from the dead. They did everything possible to make sure that the prophecies of the Old Testament were not fulfilled. And in spite of every effort that they made, on the third day after he was buried, as the sun began to rise, the women came to the sepulcher. And you know, I thought about this, as the S-U-N began to rise, the S-O-N had already risen. Jesus had already come out of the grave. And he talked with Mary. And the Bible says that he showed himself to many other people. And the point I've been trying to make in all of this, and I hope you have followed me, is this. The claim of the scriptures that Jesus died and rose again is entirely believable, because this is a record, you see. This really did happen. And so there are many other scriptures, but I'll not take the time to go into all of them that I had thought I would do. But anyway, the gospel is worthy of being believed. Now, we're sinners. You wouldn't deny that, would you? You know, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we all, you know, all, A-double-L, there is none good, no, not one. And every one of us at one time or another have done things we ought not to have done. And we just can't deny it, because, you know, the Bible says we're sinners, and we are. And so these Old Testament prophecies, there are many. I could go to many more. There's one that comes to my mind. 16th chapter of the book of Psalms. And it's referred to in Acts chapter 2. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And hell there means the grave. It don't mean the eternal lake of fire. Now, there is such a place, but that's not what this is having reference to. This is having reference to the grave. He died and he was buried, but he didn't stay in the grave. Thou shalt not leave my soul or my person, me, in the grave. And thou wilt not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. You see, when people die, you know, their bodies decompose and go back to the dust. But that didn't happen to Jesus. He rose from the dead, and he showed himself alive. So that's one thing that makes the gospel credible. The fact that it was foretold, it was prophesied, and it came to pass. And so there's no trickery. There's no deception. God loved the world, and he gave his son. And his son gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And then he rose from the dead. And he is alive. He is our Savior. He is your Savior. He wants to be your Savior. If he has not already saved you, he wants to be your Savior. He wants you to have forgiveness of sin and to have a home in heaven when this life is over. And then the second reason, we talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He foretold it himself, and I've already mentioned this. Sometimes I get the cart before the horse. I think about, you know, what the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, how the preacher sought out acceptable words and set things in order. You know, you have in your mind what you want to say, and you think, well, you know, we need to say this first and this next, and then, you know, put it in order. Well, sometimes I get it out of order. But I hope I never preach a lie. I hope I always preach the truth. And I'm telling you today, folks, I'm telling you the truth. There were eyewitnesses to his crucifixion. Many eyewitnesses that saw him hanging on that cross. They heard him speak out of the darkness, that it was God sent a darkness at noontime. And he spoke out of the darkness. And they heard him. And the Lord Jesus, these witnesses that had seen him, they testified to the fact he was crucified. Even Pilate, when Nicodemus and Joseph went to the tomb, or they went to Pilate or to Herod, and they said, we would like to have permission to take his body down and bury him. We don't want him left hanging on the cross. So the king asked this question: are you sure he's dead? Go see if he's dead. Make sure. And so they went. And when they got to Calvary, where he was hanging on the cross, he was already dead. But the two thieves, they were still living. And so these soldiers broke their legs to hasten their death. But one of the soldiers took his spear, and he pierced the side of the Lord. He run it up through from his stomach up through into his heart. And forthwith came blood and water. And they went back, and Herod said, is he dead? They said, you can believe he's dead. I made sure of that. I pierced his side. I know he's dead. And so he gave them permission to bury him. And they took him down. And they took him and they put him in Joseph's new tomb. And as I said, they sealed it, made it sure. But in spite of that, he came out of the grave. He came out of the grave. The third thing I want to mention is this. It is possible for each one in this audience, and some of you already have experienced that, but it's possible for you to meet the living Savior. He can speak to your heart. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've had an encounter with the living Savior. The Apostle Paul tells us about his experience. Now, he was a Pharisee, and he was very jealous for the religion of the Jews. And when Jesus began to preach and his disciples began to preach, Paul didn't like it, or Saul didn't like it. And he determined, and you can read this in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts. I'm going to let you read it. If I can remember enough of it to tell you. If I can't, I'll read it. But he said he determined to do everything he could against the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was on his way to Damascus, and he had authority in his pocket from the the rulers, that he could arrest and put in prison anybody that he found worshiping Jesus. And he was traveling, and just before he got into Damascus, there was a light that shined from heaven. It was brighter than the noonday sun. And he fell to the ground. And there was a voice that spoke to him. And the voice asked him the question, "Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you doing this to me?" And Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "Saul, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." The Lord convicted him. He spoke to his heart. And he realized that he was a sinner. And he was fighting the Savior of the world, the one who died for him. And he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" And right there on the Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus met Jesus of Nazareth. And he was saved. And he told that everywhere he went. He had a personal experience with the living Savior. And I'm telling you today that you can have a personal experience with the living Savior. The one who died for your sins and rose again. And so Jesus, he showed himself alive. I'm going to give you one more example, and then I'm going to close. But while Jesus was living, he was traveling, and he went through Samaria. And he was tired, and he sat down at Jacob's well, and the disciples went into town to get him some food. And so while they were gone, a woman came to draw water. And so Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." She said, "Boy, I don't understand this. I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew. Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans, and yet you're talking to me. You may be one of those people that have never had anything to do with Jesus. You might not want to have anything to do with Jesus. But I tell you, Jesus wants to be your Savior." And he said to her, "Woman, if you knew who I am, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water." And she said, "Well, where are you going to get your water?" She wasn't talking about literal water. I mean, he wasn't talking about literal water. He was talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Said, "Where are you going to get your water? You have nothing to draw with. The well's deep." And Jesus said, "Woman, anybody that drinks of this water that's in this well is going to thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Well, their conversation went on. And Jesus asked her a few questions that made her realize she's a sinner. That's the first thing. You have to realize you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. And so Jesus said, "Go get your husband." Well, she said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You have rightly said, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with today is not your husband." She said, "I perceive you must be a prophet." You know what he did? He asked her those questions, and she realized in her heart that she was a sinner. In one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. And boy, that got her. That got her. There are other commandments that'll get you too. The Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Jesus, He can understand what you're thinking right this minute. The Word of God causes discernment, understanding, brings understanding. And so the woman said to Jesus, "Give me this water. Give me this water that I don't have to come and draw, but that will be in me and with me." And I believe Jesus gave it to her. The Bible says, "Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and you shall receive." And she asked. What makes you think she asked? Well, because she went into the city. She began telling everybody about Jesus and what He had done for her. Now, I believe that above everything else makes the gospel credible. You can believe the Word of God. I'm telling you, Jesus rose from the dead to die no more. He showed Himself alive for 40 days. And then His disciples and He were walking on the Mount of Olives out toward Bethany. And they were talking. And as they walked and they talked, He was received up out of their sight. They just stood there. I guess their eyes were that big around, huh? As they saw Him just rise from the earth and disappear, and He is on His way to heaven. And He took His seat at the right hand of His Father. And He is there as our intercessor. He intercedes with God in behalf of sinners. He can hear your prayer today. He can forgive your sins today. He can give you that living water in your soul that will satisfy your thirst. It's everlasting. It never ends. I'm so glad for the record that we have. I'm so glad for this convincing testimony. It is not unbelievable. I was in revival at Summershade Missionary Baptist Church. Brother Dexter Bacon was a pastor. And during that revival, I believe we had 8 saved during the revival. But there was one young woman. She played softball. It might have been basketball. I'm not sure. For Barron County. And she was a great athlete. And she got to coming. And she got under conviction. And so one day we were at Brother Bacon's house. And phone rang. And she said, "I need to talk with you all. I need to talk with you. Will you meet me at the church?" So we went to the church. And she came. And we talked a while. And she said, I want to believe, but I just can't. You know, I just can't. Well, of course, the devil was telling her she couldn't. But the point I'm making is, you can believe this gospel. You can believe it. This is what the Bible says. If I can get it started. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And folks, it's always in that order. You get saved first, and then you tell people about it. And so I'm saying today that the gospel is credible. It's credible. If you haven't come to Jesus, confessed your sins to Him, asked Him to forgive you of your sins, repented to Him, and asked Him to give you salvation, you need to do it. Life is uncertain and death is sure. You're not going to get around it. There's no way that you're going to get around it, because it's appointed unto men to die. And after death, there's the judgment, when you have to stand before this Jesus that loved you enough to die for you. The judgment must follow. And what will your answer be? What will you say when you stand before the Lord Jesus? Say, "Well, I'm sorry, Lord, I never heard this before." No, you can't say that. You say, "Well, Lord, I just couldn't believe it." Well, you know, you can believe it. You can believe it. I want you to be saved. I pray you'll take advantage of this opportunity today to get right with God. I'm going to give an invitation. You can come to the altar and pray here. But I'm going to tell you, you have access to God wherever you are. Anywhere. I wasn't at church when I got saved. I was sitting in a rocking chair in the living room of my parents' home. Now, I'd been going to the altar and I'd been seeking the Lord. And the day I got saved, I was more under conviction than I'd ever been before. And I'd already run out of words. I'd done prayed, you know, I'd hear other people pray and I'd say their words and, you know, didn't work. Takes faith. You have to believe. But anyway, I had gone in the living room and I was sitting down. And I wanted to be saved more than anything in the world. And I don't know how it happened, except by the grace of God. God enabled me. God enabled me to forsake my sins and trust in Jesus. And I tell you, there was a change that was made in my heart. All of that conviction and all of that guilt and all of that condemnation was instantly gone. And I had peace with God. And I had joy in my heart. And I wanted to tell somebody about getting saved. Salvation is a wonderful thing, made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a credible story. Let's have a song, Brother Wayne. All right. All right, that's good. Amen.